B. From cradle to grave, the welfare system. Today, welfare policies have become a universal phenomenon. No matter which country or party, whether conservative or liberal, there is no essential difference. People who have lived in communist countries and come to the West are all impressed with the benefits: free education for children, medical insurance, and care for the elderly. They believe that this is what real communism is about. Isn't the welfare society of today precisely a communist set of ideas brought into capitalist society? The difference is that it wasn't done through violent revolution. The pursuit of a better life is not fault in itself, but there are major problems hidden behind the large welfare states established by governments. There is no free lunch in this world. High levels of welfare are based on forced taxation, and the welfare itself ends up creating problems. The British jurist Dicey observed, "Now before 1908, the question whether a man, rich or poor, should insure his health, was a matter left entirely to the free discretion or indiscretion of each individual. His conduct no more concerned the state than the question whether he should wear a black coat or a brown coat, but the National Insurance Act will, in the long run, bring upon the state, that is, upon the taxpayers, unemployment insurance. It is in fact the admission by the state of its duty to insure a man against the evil ensuing from his having no work. The National Insurance Act is in accordance with the doctrines of socialism. The Nordic model of socialist welfare has been recognized and adopted by many countries. It was once considered a positive example of socialist prosperity to be imitated by the West. Yet in Northern Europe, the ratio of tax rate to GDP is among the highest in the world, with many of the country's tax rates hovering at around 50%. Analysts have pointed out that there are six fatal problems with the socialist medical welfare that the government engages in. It is unsustainable, as people want to benefit from free services more than they pay into them. There are no rewards or penalties for performance, and medical industry practitioners don't assume any legal responsibility for what they do, but get paid no matter how much they work. It causes huge losses to the government. People steal through loopholes, abuse the system, and engage in underground trade. The government decides the life and death of the people through the medical system, and it's plagued by bureaucracy. In 2010, a man named Jonas in northern Sweden had to suture his bleeding wounds in an emergency room. He first went to the outpatient clinic, which had closed. He then waited for 3 hours in the emergency room. The wound was bleeding, but he received no aid. He had no choice but to attempt to treat himself, but this led to him being reported by the hospital staff as having violated the law by possessing hospital equipment without authorization. He had picked up a thread and needle the nurses left out. This is just one instance. The reality is far worse. Because everyone wants free medical care, resources are abused. The clash between limitations on resources and the demand that things be free causes mismatches between supply and demand. The lack of supply means long queues, while those who really need care are harmed by socialized medicine. It's not merely a matter of efficiency. The greater danger is that everything a person needs from cradle to grave is arranged by the government. It may seem to be desirable, but in fact, a population's dependence on the government is the path to an autocratic regime. As Tocqueville wrote, "If despotism were to be established amongst the democratic nations of our days, it might assume a different character, it would be more extensive and more mild, it would degrade men without tormenting them." The welfare state is thus best described: